Hello everyone, this is Danny Lewis recording tonight's Mishnayos Shir. Again, we're learning Maseches Bava Kamma. We're in the first parak. Before we start Mishnayos Gimel, Dalet, and hopefully the first Mishnah of the next parak, I'm just going to do a quick chazara of what we started yesterday in the first Shir of the first two Mishnayos of Bava Kamma, not in complete detail, but just to review the basics. So we said there are four general categories of Nezikin, Arba Avos Nezikin, which are ashor, which meant damage done with the body, the leg, or the rest of the body of the animal. Babor is an open pit. Hamava is the tooth or any type of damage done by the animal for its benefit and enjoyment. Hever is a fire, which are things, not only fire, the toldos of that were things moved by the wind, such as a knife that was placed on a roof and it blew off and damaged someone. Could also be that. Bohari ashor kahari hamava. The shor, which again is the bodily damage, is not like the tooth type of damage. Lari amave kari shor, no, the other way around. Lozeh lozeh, and neither of these are not sheish ben ruach haim. They have a living spirit of the animal moving them, are not like kari aish, are not like fire, shein bo ruach haim, which doesn't have a living spirit moving it, obviously. Lozeh lozeh, shedakim leilich alahazik, kari abor, shein darka leilich alahazik. And all the previous three, namely the shor, which is the bodily damage, the shein, which is the enjoyment damage, and the fire, which is fire or wind-based damage, are all not like the boar because they move, they are mobile, and the boar is not. Oh, by the way, the end shot in the according to the Rav in that part of the Mishnah meant that the halachos of them are different in various ways. See yesterday's shir for an elaboration of that, or the Rav and such. The common denominator in all of these is Shadakim Lahazik, Hashmiras and Alecha. Their way is to damage. That is a normal thing that they do. And therefore, you have to guard them. Kishihizik, and when one of them was damaged, Chavamazik, Vashan, Pashnuinezik, Mezav, Arif, the damager has to pay for the damages from the best of his land. Mishnah Bey said, anything which I have become obligated to guard it, I am now the one who will be responsible to damage it. And if I bring about part of its damaging ability, I'll have to pay it all. The example that the Rav gave was a person digs a pit 9 tefachim deep, which would not obligate that person if an animal were to fall in and die, because 9 tefachim deep is not considered to be a lethal depth of a pit. And then someone else would come and dig the 10th tefach. That person who now made it a lethal pit would be chayv if an animal fell in there and died, even though he only added that last tefach. And then the Mishnah proceeded to list a few general klalim about the types of property that one is obligated to pay for in nezikin and damages. Nechasim shem be'ila, it can't be hektish. Nechasim shel b'nei bris, it has to be owned by Jews. Nechasim ha'miyuchadim, it has to have particular owners, not hefty. V'chol makom, and in any place one is obligated, chutz me'yishus ha'michezav ha'mazik, v'yishus ha'nizak ha'mazik. Aside from a place, a domain, that is owned by the mazik, if the shore walks into my property and my shore should happen to damage it, I don't have to pay for that. Rishus amizak v'amazik, and a rishus that is shayich, that is relevant to both of them, such as a chotzer amishutefes, a courtyard that is shared by both, where one keeps oxen in there, one is not obligated to pay if one ox should damage the other person's ox. Because shayizik havamazik v'shan pashlaminezik v'meitav v'aretz, a repetition of the last line of the first Mishnah, when it would damage, the damager is chayav to pay for the damages from the best of his land. Pshat the Rav gave for that repetition is it's adding Karen. Karen are cases which we'll learn about today of the shor damaging with its horns or something similar to that. And that's also the case that you have to pay for the best of the land. Okay, now is today's first new Mishnah. Again, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gemel, and Bava Kamma. Shum kesef, v'shav kesef. The evaluation of money and that which is equal to money. We're going to see in the Rav what all of this means. These are more general klalim in halachos of nezikin. Shum kesef means the evaluation of kesef. Shavu kesef means that which is equivalent to kesef. Bifnei basin means in front of basin. Balpi ein b'nei chorim b'nei bris. In front of witnesses that are free and Jewish. The hanashim b'chal nezik, and women are included in damages. V'anizak v'hamazik b'tashlumin, and the damagee and the damager in payment. What does this all mean? It seems like a list. Not so clear. Let's see what the Rav has to say in elaboration. Shum kesef. Shum zeh shel nizakim lo yeh el v'kesef. The evaluation of damages can only be with money. She based in shamin kama shava anezik v'kach v'shalim lo. That based in evaluates how much is the damage worth, namely how much did the item go down in value from the damages, and that is what he pays. That seems obvious enough. So what does this mean? The im Hezika parasa shel Reuven. If Reuven's cow, or his bull, really, damaged talitha shel Shimon, damaged the garment, the talis of Shimon, shedarasa alav, it stamped on it. Stepped on it, and therefore ripped it, damaged it. Reshus ha-nizak usharaso. In the reshus of the nizak, a place where it will be chayiv, right, the reshus of the damager, usharaso, and it broke it, and stepped on the talis and broke it. Ve'acharkach, ireshenishbar ragla shel par, zuhu shel Reuven, metalitha shel Shimon. And then what happened? That stamping out cow of Reuven damaged its foot on the talus of Shimon, damaged itself. Rishus Rabin, separately in a different place in Rishus Rabin, because Davi Nami Bor Rishus Rabin. We learned before that Bor is only chayv in Rishus Rabin, or it's also chayv in Rishus Rabin. I think it's only chayv in Rishus Rabin. So it has to be that they moved to Rishus Rabin before that damage happened. So ain't Omri Mahoil Vizekosheze. We don't say, well, this one damaged that one and this one damaged that one, call it all off. They balance each other out. We don't say that. Ela Shaman Shnei Azakim Bedami, you have to evaluate each damage separately in the monetary amount that it damaged. And we should hizik lechaver yoser yishalim, wherever the difference is, wherever damage a little more, we'll pay that difference. That's what Shum Kesef means. But the evaluation has to be done with money, not just cancel out events. Shava Kesef, because Shaboyim Lashalim Ahezik Venichsa Yisomim. If the case would be, it's not a regular case of damage necessarily, if they would come to pay hezek from the property of orphans, meaning to say the damager died and he left over this debt of damage to be paid to the damagee, and now the damagee or representatives of him are coming to collect that debt from orphans of the damager, they only collect from land. Land is considered more equal to money, shavikas. Metaltalim, movable objects, are considered themselves money, not equal to money, but themselves money. Anything move about, any liquidatable assets are considered to be money. We said this yesterday, that if I can't sell this item here, I will find somewhere else to sell it. So shavu kesef here didn't mean like it may be that the listeners out there know. It usually means something equivalent to money, meaning just as good as money. Like, for instance, in Kiddushin, marrying a woman with Sheva Kesef means you can marry her with Kesef, with actual money. And you can also marry her with a ring. It means something equivalent to money. Here it actually meant that I don't want to use money. I don't want to use Metaltalim here to pay, to collect the debt from these orphans, these Yisomim. Specifically want us to use that which is equal to money, meaning land. That is what one can get paid from if they are makbet about, if they're particular about that. Ifnei Basin, what's in front of Basin? The Hashuma Vatashlum, and this evaluation and a payment for damages, Shal Mizikin, Lo Yu El Ifnei Basin, Mumchin, ask me in front of a Basin of experts, Lo Ifnei Basin, Shal Hadiotos, not in front of a Basin of common people. So that was Ifnei Basin, and it continues the Mishnah, it said, Al Pi Eidim B'nei Chorim B'nei Bris, in front of witnesses that are free and Jewish, Batuke Avodim V'nachim She'enik Kesheim Le'edus Shal Mizikin, as opposed to slaves and non-Jews who are not considered valid for a testimony concerning damage. Banashim Michal Nezik, women are included in Nezik. What does that mean? Banshi Yiziku Hi Esachayim, whether this woman damaged others, or her property or animals, if they damaged others. Banshi Yachayim Yiziku, whether others damaged her. Din Ha'ish, the Din Ha'isha Shavim Ben Yizikin, the laws of men and women are equal in Yizikin. One might ask, I didn't see myself, I didn't have the opportunity to see if anyone would speak about this, but what does the Hava mean of it? Why wouldn't women be just as obligated? Something to think about, do some homework about perhaps. Mission continues. Anizek v'amazik b'tashlumin. What does it mean, the damagee and the damager in payment? Pa'amim sha'anizak shayich im ha'mazik b'tashlumin shal nizak. There are times where the damagee is just as related, just as relevant to him with the damager when it comes to payment for these damages. What does that mean? Kigon, impasa hanavela b'shas misa atshas hamara b'din. Let's say Reuven's shore gored Shimon's animal, Shimon's para. The animal died. And from the time of death, that carcass of the animal has been reduced in value until the time when they got to evaluate it. A couple of days went by, and the value has gone down. Shpachas nevela b'nizaku. That depreciation of the carcass, the nevela, is relevant to the nizak, meaning to say, it's his, he's going to retain the dead body at the end of this payment, aside from the payment, he will keep the carcass, he could sell it, do whatever he wants to him. It's considered his loss that it went down in value. Bein b'tam bein b'muad, whether or not it had been killed by a tam, or Mule, we should spoke about yesterday, Tom being animals that are not considered, that they damage all the time, and Muad being an animal that is established, the Chazak in itself, that does damage all the time. Comes out then that the Mazik doesn't really end up paying him entirely, meaning to say, the Mazik should pay half the damages if the damaging shore is a Tam. That's just something we'll learn about in a later Mishnah. He should pay if the damaging animal is worth 100 shekels, let's say, he should pay 50, he could pay up to that amount. Half, I said one mistake there. The damagee, carcass of the animal is worth 100, he should pay 50, right? Onezik shalim imhu mu'ud, or he would pay all of it if the goring animal is in mu'ud. Comes out, and in this case, where the carcass of the animal went lower, went down in value, the Nizak's going to lose out because he'll actually not walk away with everything the Torah really would want him to walk away with, right? Just to understand that a little clearer, this is really a machlokus in the Gemara between Rav Huna and Rav Papa. This is the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Huna holds that Chatzi Nezik is a kanas. Just really that a person who has a tam animal that damages really shouldn't have to pay anything, but the Torah gave him a type of kanas, a fine, so that he will watch his animals better. Therefore, the nizak is going to lose in the case of that. We said b'chas nevela. According to Rav Papa, that holds that chasi nezik is actually not a kanas. It's a regular obligatory payment, meaning that type of payment the Torah made that if your animal damages, you have to pay chatzi nezik if it's not the type of animal to damage. So he explains that is the part where the nizak's involved, meaning the Torah obligated you to pay for your animal's damages, whether it's a tam or a muad. And even so, if it's a tam, the damager gets away with only paying for half. That's what it means the nizak's involved in tashlum. Okay, that was Mishnah Gimel. Again, that last point, I just want to make sure it's clear, is that you only pay... The damager only pays for the damaged item according to the value of that item when it died. So there's going to be no consequence to the damager, the fact that the damaged item went down in value until they brought it to court. That's what it means. He doesn't lose out more. Continues Mishnah Dalit. Chamisha Tam and Chamisha Mo'adim. There are five cases of Tam, as we mentioned, an animal that is not considered having a chazakah, a pattern of damaging. The Chamisha Mo'adim. And five mu'adim, five that do. Continues the Mishnah listing these. We'll see what the Rav will elaborate where are the five of each, because it won't be clear from reading the Mishnah by itself. Abahema animal edis lo ligach, lo ligof, lo lishoch, lo libos, lo livot. Abahema is not considered to be mu'ad to ligach means to gore, ligof means to push, lishoch means to bite, libos means to kick or fight, pushing, some sort of punching, we would say. Lo livot means to crouch. An animal is not considered to be expected in any of those behaviors, and therefore if it does it, it's considered a tam until it's made a mu'ad, which is something we'll speak about later, how it becomes a mu'ad. A shein mu'adis le'echol es haruyla. Shein is considered to be expected to eat that is fitting for the animal. If a cow eats grass, it's considered that he will eat grass. You have to guard your cow from that. A regel mu'adis shaber b'derech hiducha. Regel, that type of damage is considered to be more to damage things while walking, so you have to guard your animal while it's moving. The shore, a mu'ad, and the shore that is mu'ad, meaning those five cases that were a tam, that have become a mu'ad. We'll see this all in the Rav. The shore, a mazim, b'shus, and izak, and a shore that damages in the property of the damagee. The ha'adam and a person. Again, adam, we'll see, is always a mu'ad. We'll talk about that. Now a list of bunch of animals. We don't know where this list is going. We'll leave the Rav to fill us in. A ze'ev, a wolf, a ha'ari, and a lion. A dove, and a bear. A nomer is generally considered a leopard. A bardalus, we're going to translate as a cheetah. A nachash, and a snake. Are elu mu'adin, those animals are considered mu'ad. They are pre-assumed to be damaging types of animals. Rabbi Eliezer says, Bizman shein b'nei tarbus ain't mu'adin. If they are domesticated, they are not considered mu'ad. A nachash mu'la'ola, but a snake is always indeed considered to be mu'ad. What is the halachic difference between a tam and a muad? Elisha tam sham chatinezim migufo. A tam is obligated to pay. You are obligated to pay for a tam's damages half the damage amount migufo, to be limited by the value of the damaging animal. The hamuad sham nezik shalim min aliyah. And a mu'ad is going to pay complete damages, and it's not going to be limited by the value of the damaging animal. It's just going to pay. It doesn't have that limit. It just pays from the best of property. Let's read that all in the Rav to make sure we said it all correct. Kamisha tamin, she'eni regim v'hazik, they're not considered accustomed to damage. V'im iziku misham chatzinezik, if they will damage, you'll pay half damages. Kamisha ma'adim and five that are mu'at, she'eni regim v'hazik, they're accustomed to damage, mishalim nezik shalim, therefore you pay full damages. Lo ligach, the karen, goring is with one's horns. Lo ligof, the chiva kol aguf, that it pushes with its body. The kulav, it told of the karen. All of these behaviors are told of karen. Karen means a horn, but as we saw, that's the av, would be goring. And actually, I think in this case, they're all really told us. I'm not sure what the av. It makes sense that it's the av, it's called karen. But I think according to the numbers here, there's only five. Okay, well, let's see. They're all considered told us the rest of these behaviors. They're damaging done with the body. And I think the Gemara elaborates that it means damage is done with clear intention to damage. An ox that goes and gores does not do it by accident. So to these oxen here that are pushing and biting and so forth. They pay a half nezik. That's five tamen. So I guess to answer the question I kind of asked myself, one of the list here is the av, and it seems the four others are the toldas of Karen. The shor hamuad, sholosh ba'amin ligach oligof olirvot olivot olisho. Yeah, this was the end of the list of muadim. Yeah, where it's saying that, I'll fill in the part that Rav didn't comment on. So first we had five tam behaviors. Then we had shein is one mu'ad. It's considered mu'ad to eat what is fitting for that animal. Reg, to break things as it walks. Shor mu'ad is the third list that Rav's comments on now. If any of these behaviors happen three times, it's considered mu'ad. Arihein chamishim o'adim l'sham nezik shalim. Those five tam behaviors that become mu'ad, that's the list of five. Of mu'adim. However, it's only considered one in the list of mu'adim. So that is a bit difficult. Why in the list of tamin is considered five behaviors, five tamin, and when it comes to the list of mu'adim, these five behaviors are considered one mu'ad. It's interesting to know why they would. The shor hamazik b'reshus hanizak. Yeah, the shor of the damager and the reshus of the damagee. Afilu karen tamo. Even if it's a karen behavior that is tam, it still has to pay. Havimua the shalom nezik shalim. It's a mua to pay entirely. Masisan asi kamanda amar mishuna karen bechotzer anizak shalom es nezik shalim. This is a minority opinion, Rabbi Tarfon in the Gemara, that holds that if a karen behavior happens in the property of the chotzer of the nizak, the victim, shalom es nezik shalim, pays full damages. Afilu hitama, even as a tam, en ken halacha. That is not the halacha. So we would hold this really four mua. There are other men that a person having mu'ad, mitchilos, or nami, or misham nezik shalim, in hizik. This is something we'll talk about in a later Mishnah, that a person is considered mu'ad forever, always. He never gets away with paying half damage. Hazeev, ha'ariv, v'choli, what is this list of animals? Mu'ad, mitchilos, and all these animals are also mu'ad to begin with. So it comes out there are more than five over here, or there are five and then these animals. Says the Rav this question, why does he consider these animals amongst the list of five mu'adim? That we spoke about earlier. Would be 11. These are not so common in a civilized area, so they're not considered the five common mu'adim. These are uncommon mu'adim. Back to the list of animals. We had a wolf and a lion and a bear and a panther and then a bardlet. That is an animal that in Arabic is called an altiba. In modern Hebrew, it's a cheetah or a panther. I think I misspoke before. A nummer is a leopard. But those are lists of animals. And a nachash, and a snake, those are mu'adim. Rabbi Eliezer says, no, that if they are civilized, domesticated animals, they are not mu'adim. Bein halachah, Rabbi Eliezer says, the halacha is not like that. They are indeed considered mu'adim. What is the difference the Mishnah asks between a tam and a mu'ad? The tam pays half damages, and that amount is limited by the value of the damaging animal. While the mu'ad pays full damages and there is no limit, it pays from the best of its property, min ha'aliyah, from the best, mi'idish of nechasav, the best of the property. Ba'afilu ena nogeach shav ashir ha'nezik. Even if the damaging animal is not worth that much to pay off the amount of damages, it doesn't matter. He pays the full amount of damages, that's that. Because the mu'ad see, because the verses that talk about a mu'ad say, yishalim short achas ashor, the ox pays for the ox, lo'tsiv bay, doesn't say that it's limited by the body of the damaging animal. Okay, we finished the first parak. Let's start the second parak. We still have a little time, I think. We haven't been talking that long. The second parak is called Parak Ketzad HaRegel. Let's read the Mishnah. Ketzad HaRegel Mu'edet V'Shaber B'Derech Hiluchah. That can be read two ways. Either Ketzad HaRegel Mu'edet, how is the regel behavior considered to be Mu'ed? What does it do? And the answer would be the Shaber B'Derech Hiluchah. That's where the Rav is going to learn. The other way to learn would be that that's all a question that the rest of the Mishnah is going to be answering. The Shaber B'Derech Hiluchah means to break it by the way of its walking. HaBehema Mu'edet L'Halech K'Darech L'Shaber. Behema is considered Mu'ed to walk in a normal way and to break things. If it was crouching, which is not normal, as we saw this, a Tom behavior, an abnormal behavior, or there were pebbles, rocks, that were shooting forth from under its legs, and either crouching or these rocks that were shooting forth, or maybe it could really happen at the same time, but the Mishnah listed two cases, if either of those happened and broke vessels, the Shalom Chatzi Nezik, only half Nezik is paid. Those are considered, as we'll see, very Mishuna behaviors, odd behaviors, not something the owner would be required to watch out for. Darsal Akli Yashor Aku, if it trampled on a Kli, jumped on it, trampled it, and broke it, on a vessel and broke it. V'nofal Akli Achir Shvaro, and then those broken pieces went and hit another vessel and broke it. Al Harisha Mashal Nezik Shalim, the first one he'd pay entirely, it's regular behaviors that broke it. V'lo Achir Mashal Nechatsi Nezik, the second one is like Tzoros, like the case of flying pebbles. You pay half damage. Atanagolim mu'adim mahalich kedarkon l'shaber. Chickens are considered to be mu'ad to walk the regular way and break things. I had a little kosher baraglav. There was a delil, which we'll see what that word means. Perhaps a bucket or anything tied to a chicken's leg that was tied to its foot. Or it was dancing and it broke. Jumping up and down and it broke kalim, broke vessels. Mishab chatinezik, that pays chatinezik. Says the Rav. In what behaviors is a regel considered mu'ad already? Well, Mishani, and then the Mishnah answers that question, B'shaber B'derech Hiluchah. They said that's one way to read the Mishnah. To break by the way of walking. That is how it is mu'ad. It is mu'ad to break things as it walks. Ha'behema mu'adis, Reisha Tana Avos, regel mamish. The Reisha, the first line, to say breaking the way that it, while it's walking, that's avos, that's regel mamish. While it walks, it breaks things. Shadar sabaraglaha, that it trampled things with its feet. The Seifa Tana told us, the elaboration of the rest of the behaviors in the rest of the mission, the Seifa are told us. Shebehemu adis lahala chedarko l'shaber begufa. It means an animal is muad to walk normally and break things with its body. With the sara, or its hair, the shtif shaleho, or its the bags that are on it, derech hilucha while it's walking. That wasn't so clear in the reading of the Mishnah. It doesn't say anything about the body. It just says, Ketzad HaRegel Mu'edet, V'shaber B'derech Hiluchah. Right? How is the regel mu'ad to break things as it goes? That says, Abehemo is mu'ad to walk its way and break. So the Rav is to fill us in that second one means not with its feet, as the way the first line of the Mishnah meant. The second line means with other things, its body, its hair, etc. Ha'isham Mu'edet, if it was crouching, Shinui who said, that is an odd behavior. The told of the carrot, that's considered told of the carrot, as we said. Only half payment is paid then. Or rocks were flying. That is not odd. That's actually considered normal. Pebbles fly. Even though that's the case, it still pays only half damages. That is a halacha l'moshe m'Sinai, that flying rocks only obligates the damager in chatinezik. The Rishut HaNizak HaOmar, this is all talking about in the property of the Nizak. The Rishut HaRabim Pater, this is a good clause to note. Rishut HaRabim is Pater. The Tzoros told that the regel minhu, the Patram, the Rishut HaRabim. Amazing. Tzoros is an odd behavior to be relevant to the half-damage idea of Karin, but it's really considered to be regel because the animal was using its feet, and that way it is Pater in Rishut HaRabim. This is the case the Gemara said, what if it was trampling one Kli and broke it, and then it fell to another Kli and broke it? Rishon Mizke Regalein, the first one was trampled, so that was Regal. Mishalem es Nezik Shalim. Well, Acher, I did Saras Nishbar, Hilke Chazi Nezik. The second Kli was damaged by the flying pieces of the first one. So that's considered different Tzoros Chazi Nezik. You have a chicken that had Delil Kosher Baragol, Kol Dover Hanikshab Regal, Atarnagol Kori Delil. The Rav goes with the idea that anything tied to the foot of a chicken is called a delil. Beef de garsi delil. Some have the girsa, I mentioned this translation, some have the girsa of delil, which means a bucket. But either way, it had something tied there, or it was dancing on top of a kli and it broke it. So I guess the thing that was tied broke a kli, or there's nothing tied and it just broke a kli by dancing. Mahadeth means merakeh, dancing. Beef de mafarshi, chofer baragol ba'ar. Some explain that it means digging into the ground with its leg, as chickens do. The delil hain tzoros. The bucket is tzoros. It's an object being propelled by the power of the feet. The also delil adinhu tzoros ala kelim. Because with, oh, interesting, he learns it's literal. That with that bucket, he moved about rocks onto kelim. I thought it was the bucket breaking something directly. I guess according to this Rav, that would not be considered tzoros. That would be direct damage. The hidus nami kigon shehitiz v'osin tzoros shirukim. Even learns the dancing is also, he was dancing. And the dancing made rocks go flying, and that broke the kelim. Okay, that's the end of Mishnah Aleph and Parak Beis. Mitzvah Shem, see you tomorrow.